Catfish Radio, episode 38. Hey, this is Chad Ferguson, learntocatchcatfish.com, and you're listening to Catfish Radio. Catfish Radio is the podcast radio show dedicated to sport fishing for catfish. Whether you fish for blues, channels, or flatheads, fish in lakes, rivers, streams, or ponds, our goal is to provide you with the information that you need to be more successful on your next fishing trip. Catfish Radio is a production of learntocatchcatfish.com, and a small portion of the information that we provide on fishing for catfish. If you want to get more information, check out all the other articles, videos, and information, head over to learntocatchcatfish.com, and you can learn more about it there. So it's been a while since we've done a podcast episode. If you're a regular listener, then you know that things have been a little bit off schedule this year, and have not been putting the podcast out on as regular of a basis as I have in the past. And there's a variety of reasons behind that. Did a show back in March, so I guess it's been roughly 2 months ago, and kind of talked about in that show that I wasn't exactly sure what the schedule was going to be going forward, and been tinkering around with some things behind the scenes that have required me to focus on other things with the website, and just, you know, typical end of year, kids getting out of school, summer, busy fishing season with business and catfish bait and all those different things on the website, and just hadn't had time to do so. So you may have noticed, if you've been watching the website closely, that I have been posting on a much more frequent basis here the last couple of weeks, and I think that that will continue, at least for the next few months or so. We'll have to see how things go, maybe beyond that, but had to take a little break and kind of do a little bit of work on some stuff behind the scenes, and was getting really burned out with just everything going on. So some great things coming down the wire in the immediate future that you're going to want to stay tuned to the website, and it'll make more sense then if you're not already signed up for the mailing list. Go to the website, learntocatchcatfish.com, go up to the top of the page, click on Catfishing Secrets, and get signed up, and you'll hear about all those things very soon. And when that all comes out, it will make a lot more sense as to what I've been working on. You're going to see a lot more going on the website, a lot more information, and it's going to be a lot more detailed and intensive regarding a variety of subjects. So that's about all I'll say for right now. So outside of that, I want to thank sponsors of Catfishing Radio, Brute Outdoors. You can go to the show notes for this show, episode 38. Just go to learntocatchcatfish.com/38, and you'll find the show notes for this show. You will find links to everything that we talked about in this show, as well as more written information. And there you can also find links to the sponsors of the show. Brute Outdoors, the high-end, super duty, holds ice for an extended period of time fishing coolers that I use and I've been incredibly happy with. And I've done some stuff with those lately. I'm going to talk about that here in the not-too-distant future maybe and share a little bit of information there. If you want to buy one of those coolers from Brute Outdoors, you can use the coupon code CATCHCATFISH at checkout. Get a little bit of a discount there off your cooler. And they got a lot of cool things going on and some new products coming out as well. Also, Team Catfish, teamcatfish.com, Sudden Impact Fiber Bait, Secret 7 Catfish Bait, and you know, rods, hooks, all the other stuff out there. I use a lot of their products. And very happy with them. We've been slaying the channel catfish here lately. Fishing with that Sudden Impact Fiber Bait and Secret Channel Catfish Rig. Using the techniques that I outline in the Summer Channel Catfish Techniques ebook. So with that in mind, last plug and we'll get into the show. If you go to learntocatchcatfish.com, go up to the top of the page, click on products. There you will find the ebooks and training programs that we have available through the website. The proceeds from those books are how we pay to keep everything going, keep the videos going, the podcast, keep the website online, and all those different things. This time of year, check out the Summer Channel Catfish Techniques ebook and the Secret Catfish Rig ebook. That is exactly how I'm catching fish right now and will carry you through the summer months and put a lot of channel catfish in your boat. So go over there, check those out. LearnToCatchCatfish.com/products and you can get all that information. So with that in mind, this week's show, not going to be an incredibly long show or a real as long as some of the shows in the past, but I wanted to talk about something. It's a little article I've been working on here, and I got good ways through the article, and I decided that it needed a podcast to go along with it. The shore fishing secrets that nobody is telling you. That's the topic for this week's show. So get a lot of emails and messages from people. And they say, hey, Chad, you know, I don't have a boat. A lot of the information that you talk about seems to be centered around fishing from a boat. Don't have one. Don't plan on getting one. Don't have the means to get one, whatever. Show us some shore fishing love. So want to do that in this week's show and talk about, again, the shore fishing secrets nobody is telling you. So I started out with this article, and I do this a lot. I get started on something. I'm going to do an article or a video or something, and I think it's going to be something real short and real quick. And as I get into it, I kind of start going down the rabbit hole, I guess you could say. And I end up doing something that's much larger than I originally intended. And that's what happened with this article and this podcast, The Shore Fishing for Catfish Secrets That Nobody Is Telling You. So a month or so ago, I was out on the lake catching some blue catfish using the techniques, patterns that I use in the spring. And got wrapped up with my clients, went into the boat ramp, dropped them off, cleaned some fish, and I was going to go out and do a little bit of scouting. And that's something I do from time to time, maybe if I feel like I've been overfishing an area or there's a lot of people in a certain area. If there's another area maybe I hadn't been to in a while, then I just run out there and fish really, really quick and just kind of see what's going on. Confirming my suspicions, I guess I would say, is, you know, hey, are the fish over here? If not, are they over here? Gives me a better idea of what I need to do when I head back out on the next trip and whether or not that, you know, those are an area or areas that I should look at to fish next time around or soon or whatever. So I do that. A lot of people don't call it different things, but you hear people say, I'm just going to go see what's going on, or I'm just going to go see what kind of pattern the fish are in or see what they're doing. And I'm not going to sore lip them. And basically what that means, and is similar to what I will do, is, you know, I'll go to an area, I use a sonar, side scan, down scan, whatever, look and see what I see on the screen. If I see something that looks interesting and I want to try some fishing, then I'll bait up a couple of rods, throw them out, catch one, two, or a few fish really quickly, and then load up and move and either go in or try something else. This is a technique that a lot of guys use when they're fishing for tournaments or preparing for tournaments. They just kind of go out, try to get a feel for what's going on, but they don't spend an intensive amount of time targeting or fishing one specific area because they don't want to sore lip the fish. You want the fish to be there ideally in that area and ready to bite when you go back to fish them again. So I pull up in this area and Hadn't been there in a while, kind of run through, and I start running my side scan, looking around up in shallow water just to kind of see what's going on. And I see a few things that look pretty interesting to me, so I decide that I want to stop there and fish. And I got my head buried in that side scan screen, and I look up and all of a sudden realize that there's some guys fishing up on the shore. And I do a little loop-de-loo here real quick, turn around, back up, get away from them. So I'm a good respectable distance away from them, and put my shallow water anchors down in the mud and get ready to start fishing. And while I'm getting ready, put my anchors and everything out, I had a couple of phone calls that I needed to make, and I hadn't had anything to eat. So I'm sitting there kind of eating a snack and shucking and jiving through my phone, trying to return some phone calls and text messages and whatnot. And while I'm doing this, I'm watching these guys up on the shore where they're fishing. And they're, you know, maybe 50 yards away from me or so, 40 yards away, further down the bank. And I see these guys, and they have these huge surf rods, 10, 12 foot long surf rods. And they're taking these surf rods, they probably 10 of them lined up down the shore. They're baiting the hooks, and they're wading out in the water. And they're wading out, you know, waist to chest deep. And then they're taking these surf rods, and they're lobbing them out just as hard as they can possibly throw them, and getting those baits way out there from the shore. And during this time, you know, I kind of finish up my phone calls and I bait up some hooks and I cast my rods right up towards the bank. And I've got my boat anchored parallel with the bank, and I throw rods left, right, and straight forward. And I'm using those big 8'6" steelhead rods. I can really cast some baits a long distance with those things. So I've really got some baits stretched out there, and I'm right up against the shore. I'm within 1 to 5 feet of the water line where it meets the shore. And I get my rods out there, and by the time I have that last rod thrown out, bam, one of the rods goes down, tip doubles over. I reach down, grab it, reel in a fish, and repeat this process, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times over the course of about 5 to 10 minutes. And I mean, it's just almost to the point that as soon as I throw a bait out there and get a rod in the holder, I've got another one going down. And to the point that I had to scale back the number of fishing rods that I had originally thrown out because I couldn't keep up with them. And I notice at this point that the guys over here fishing from the shore are really watching me at that point, really paying close attention to what I'm doing. Because I'd been sitting there and I'd watched them while they were there fishing. They had all these rods staggered out down the shoreline, and they were wading out there. They're casting every one of them out as far as they could possibly throw them. And they're coming back in, and they're putting them in these shore stakes or you know, rod holders that you stick down in the ground to hold your rods when you're fishing from the shore. And they'd reel in a bait, they'd put a fresh one on, or they'd check it, and they'd throw another one back out there. And the entire time I saw them there, I never saw them in catching any fish, never saw them getting any bites. And then I noticed again, I said they were watching me reel in fish. And it got me thinking, and this is not true of the masses, I guess it's a little bit of a stereotype, but I'm going to say that in general, the vast majority of anglers that fish from the shore, or a good majority of anglers that fish from the shore, regardless of what species of fish that they're trying to catch, they have a tendency to go out there and they have it in their head that they've got to throw those baits as far away from the shore that they can possibly get them. They want to get them out there as far as they can. They wade out in the water. They, you know, use these big long surf rods and specialized equipments to get baits out there. And then you have the other spectrum, and you have people that fish from boats who spend almost all of their time in a boat casting up against the bank. So you got these guys that don't have boats that are casting out as far as they can possibly go. And you got the guys in boats that are casting right up against the shore. And I know this is not a new concept. I've had these discussions with many people over the years. But watching these guys going out there over and over and over again and throwing these baits out as far as they could possibly throw them and not catching fish got me to thinking. And here I was casting my baits right up against the shoreline, almost right at their feet, spread up and down this bank, and I'm catching fish one rod after another. And they're focused on getting these baits cast out as far as they possibly can, and they're not casting anything or catching anything. They're casting. They're doing a lot of casting, but they're not catching any fish. So I sat there, and I was kind of interested just watching what was going on. I sat there in the boat, caught a few more fish, and I said, just kind of playing. I'm talking on the phone a little bit, sending text messages back and forth with my wife, telling her, you know, how much I love her and how pretty she is and all those kind of things, trying to stay out of trouble because I'm late getting home. And finally, I see these guys reel these rods in. And rather than going out and wading out in the water and casting out as far as they could possibly go, I guess they realized through watching me that they were casting over the top of the fish, and they started casting parallel, fishing up and down the bank in kind of the same general depth and distance from the shore that I was fishing. And it was a matter of just minutes or less that they had fish on the line and reeled one in. And I sat there and I watched them repeat this process over and over and over again. And they were catching fish consistently, you know, nice blue catfish, one every, you know, minute or two. And it was to the point where they were kind of in the same situation that I had been in. They had too many rods in the water, and they'd been sitting there gosh knows how long. I mean, I was sitting there watching them for 10 or 15 minutes, but I could tell by watching what was going on in the shore, the stuff that they had laying around, the gear that they had there, that they had been there for a while, or they'd been there long enough to get a lot of stuff settled in and had the intent of staying there for quite some time. And they were throwing the baits over the top of the fish that were right at their feet, casting out there into dead water and not catching anything. And the simple fact of pulling those baits in and getting them right up there close to the shore started putting fish in the boat. And, you know, gosh knows if they just sat there all day long and not caught anything with it in their heads that they had to be throwing those baits out there. So the point of all this is that you have to fish where the fish are. And you know, that's one of the things that I really try to instill in people. I get a lot of phone calls and emails and stuff of people say, hey, you know, where do I do this? Where do I do that? I don't want to steal your spots, but, you know, where do I go fish right now? And that's part of the process of learning how to pattern fish, patterning channel catfish, patterning blue catfish, patterning flathead catfish, and learning where they go and what they do at different times of the year. No matter how much you learn and how much time you invest in it, you're going to spend some or have some times where you get stumped and the fish aren't where you think they're going to be or where they should be or whatever else. But the vast majority of the time, going in there, learning how to pattern fish and what moves them is going to be the best way to increase your success and start catching fish. So if you're out there and you're fishing from the shore, You got to break yourself of that mindset of thinking that you have to be as far away from the shore as you can cast. Now, certainly there are going to be times, depending on when and where you're fishing, that casting out as far away from the shore as you can may very well be the best approach and may very well be where the fish are. If you're fishing from a boat and you've got this mindset that the only place you can catch fish is from the shoreline, then you got to break yourself of the mindset of that as well and make sure that you don't get in that habit of just targeting shorelines and discounting the other water out there that you have access to. You gotta fish where the fish are. Now, a good portion of the time, you can catch catfish very close to the shoreline. Almost all year round, you can catch some species of catfish. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that if you want to catch flatheads, you can just go out at any time of the year and catch flatheads right on the shoreline. Or if you want to go catch blue cat, you can catch blue cat any time of the year right on the shoreline because you can't. But learning to pattern fish, learning where they move at different times of the year and what moves them, you learn that you can catch fish on the shoreline or very close to the shoreline with very minimal casting almost all year long. So you got to fish where the fish are, and that's not always going to be as far away from the shore that you can cast. So I got to thinking about all this, and I got to thinking about a guy that I know that fishes from the shore, and I call him a shore fisherman. He has a kayak, but he's a shore fisherman. And I became friends with him when he went on a guide trip with me a number of years ago. It's been quite a while now, probably 10 plus years. Went on a guide trip with me and we did a little fishing, and he asked me a lot of questions and a lot of really good questions that really made an impression on me. A few months later, he came back again. He fished again. He asked a lot more questions about that time of year and what was going on. And then he came back again. He fished a third time. And same thing happened again. And through this process of him fishing with me several times and talking to him off and on by email and different means, I got to know him pretty well. And I learned that what he was doing is he was fishing with me at different times of the year to try to get a better sense of the catfish patterns and the shad patterns and what was going on in the lakes and reservoirs and different seasonal movements of fish. And through this time, he was fishing from the shore. And he started out just going out, driving somewhere, and walking up down the shoreline and fishing. And he started sending me pictures and sending me emails and text messages and stuff telling me how he was doing. And he was doing really, really well, catching a lot of fish. And I started really keeping close tabs on him and communicating with him a whole lot with what was going on. I was very interested in his success and, you know, really got to be pretty good friends with him, or I would say good friends with him over the course of, you know, the last 10 plus years, just seeing him on the water and around town and communicating with him on a regular basis. And I've kept up with him, talked to him pretty frequently. And I realized that he's the exception for a lot of shore anglers, and he does things much differently than most people fish from the shore. Now, there's a lot of people out there who will use these techniques and that fish the same way, but those people are certainly an exception to the rule of what I see most of the time with people fishing from the shore. So he approaches fishing much differently than other anglers who are fishing from the shore do. He goes out, he drives to a location, and he started out, he would drive somewhere, he would get out, and he would walk and fish. And he packed light with a minimal amount of tackle, a fanny pack or a backpack, and a little bit of tackle, some bait, and one fishing rod. And he would head off, and he would walk and get dirty and really beat the banks and cover a lot of water. And then he bought a kayak. And it's not a fancy kayak. It's not rigged out with all the rod holders and the pedals and the trolling motor and sonar and all the things that you see nowadays when people are fishing for kayaks. It's a cheap kayak, $200, I think, off of Craigslist, you know, used. And he bought the kayak and he uses that in his fishing. But it's important to note that the kayak is not what he's fishing out of. It's simply a means of transportation. He bought the kayak because it would make it easier for him to get from place to place rather than trying to walk down the shore and figure out, you know, how to get around or over creeks and private property and all the different things that you have to navigate, or having to drive from one side of the lake to the other because there's a little bitty strip of water. He bought the kayak to save time and make it easier for him. But he doesn't fish from the kayak. He goes, he puts the kayak in the water, he paddles somewhere, he pulls it up on the shoreline, he gets out of it, and he walks and fishes and never fishes from the kayak. He spends all his time with his feet on the shoreline or wading in the water, and the kayak sitting on the shore. So I don't want you to think for a minute that you have to have a kayak to get out there and be successful, because like I said, it's just a means of making it easier for him to fish from the shore and make his time more effective while he's out there. So he puts his kayak in the water, he drags it out there, and he walks up and down the banks and wades in the water when the water's warmer, and he finesse fishes. Now, I talk a lot about finesse fishing. I haven't gone into a lot of details on it. That's something that I cover a lot in some of the different ebooks, like the Summer Channel Catfish Techniques ebook. But he finesse fishes cover and structure and shallow water right from the shoreline. And he's not out there lobbing these baits a huge distance from the shore, using the big surf rods and wading out there and really trying to hum them out there, because he's learned to pattern fish. He's learned where the fish are and where they hold and the types of structure and cover that they hold into along the shoreline and when, and he uses that to his advantage. And most of the time, he's fishing, you know, within a matter of feet or a very, very short casting distance from where he's standing on the shore or where he's standing there in the water while he's waiting. And he almost always catches fish, and he does exceptionally well using these techniques and fishing with the patterns and the techniques that he uses. He uses that secret catfish rig and punch bait and fishes up around that shallow water for channel catfish. He finesse fishes for blue cat. He catches shad from the shoreline all year round. There's certain times of year where he has a little bit of trouble with it because he has to drive further to get to where he can catch them. And a lot of times I give him bait in the winter so he doesn't have to do that. But he has the ability to go out and catch shad in the winter and all year round. He catches them from the bank, and he goes out there and he finesse fishes for blue catfish. He uses a lot of the same techniques are actually the exact same techniques that I cover in the ebooks, the Summer Channel Catfish and the Spring Blue Catfish ebooks. And he just approaches them from fishing from the shore. Now, he's a bang up flathead catfish angler, and he catches a lot of really big flatheads. And again, same thing, walking the shorelines, not making long casts, fishing within a relatively close or really close proximity to the shore all the time. So he paddles that kayak up, pulls it up on the shore, he gets out, he walks a good stretch of water, and when he can't go any further or he's decided he's not in the right area, he gets in that kayak and he paddles it again somewhere else, whether that be further down that shoreline or to another shoreline or wherever the case may be. He pulls it back up on the shore, he gets out of it, and he starts fishing again. Again, I want to stress the fact that he's not fishing from the kayak. He's just using the kayak as a means of transportation to make it easier for him to get around and cut down the amount of time that he has to spend driving from place to place or driving around a body of water. So I got to thinking about all this when I started writing this article, and it was originally about fishing where the fish are, not casting over their heads. Don't think that you have to cast out as far away as you can when you're fishing from the shore. And then I got to thinking about this friend of mine and what he does and how he does this and how successful he is walking up and down the banks, fishing right at his feet and not casting those baits out there and using these big 10-foot surf rods and all the things that you see a lot of shore anglers doing on a regular basis. So I got to thinking about all this, and I got to thinking about the things that he does that make him successful fishing from the shore, and how that sets him apart from a lot of the other people that just want to go out there and back their truck up to the river or the creek or the lake or whatever and get their ice chest of beer and sit in a lawn chair with 10 fishing rods cast out and waiting for a fish to come along. And I started making a list, thinking about things that he did and how he did things differently than what I see most people doing. And I reached out to him and I tried to get him to do an interview with me on the podcast. And, a lot of people know that we're friends with each other, but there are very few people that know what he does fishing and how successful he is with the techniques that he uses, or even that he's a fisherman at all. And I tried to get him to come on and do an interview with me for the podcast when I started running down this rabbit hole and thinking about all this. And he declined and would not do an interview with me. And the reason behind that was that a lot of people know that we're friends, but people don't know that he fishes and where he fishes and what he does for this success. So he was a little bit skeptical that once he got on here and maybe some people that run in mutual circles might figure out who he was and what he was doing. And he didn't want to blow the lid off of what he was doing with the fish here in this area and the techniques he was using, because he was afraid that he would have, all these people in the area where he lives out there doing the same thing or pestering him to fish. So I tried a number of times to see if I could get this worked out with him and make it work so I could do an interview, and I wasn't able to get there, but I haven't given up yet. I'm going to talk about this, this show, but I'm going to continue to work on him and see if I can't get him to come on and record a podcast with me and talk about some of this sometime. But I sat down and I made this list of what I thought set him apart from what I see most other people doing, because I wanted to do this and cover some basics, because I get so many requests from people about information on fishing from the shore. So I put my list together and I called him and I went over it with him on the phone. And we talked about it a little bit. I kind of got in there and massaged it a little bit, kind of worked things over and set them a little bit differently, and then sent it over to him by email, and I got him to look at it. And he called me back and he said, "You know what? You're absolutely correct about what I'm doing. And I didn't realize that's what I was doing. This has just kind of happened gradually over time through fishing with you, through learning some things on my own, through spending a lot of time out there pounding the dirt, dropping baits in the water, and learning what works and what doesn't." And, he basically said, "Look, I didn't realize these are the things that I was doing, but you're absolutely correct. This is what I'm doing. And, you've said it better than I could have ever said it. So let's just roll with this." So here's the list that I put together. His secrets, they're really not secrets at all. He's just put the pieces together and he's willing to do the work. He's willing to invest the time to get out there and pound the pavement and spend the time walking and, find the cheap kayak, which really you could do this with or without that. But he's invested the time and he's done the work. He's not taking the approach of just trying to pull up, stop, get out, start fishing. He's willing to walk. He's willing to, hump it in and out through the trees and the brush and the poison ivy and the snakes and everything else. And these are the things that I identified that set him apart from what I see most other people are doing. So number one is that he quit going to places that were overcrowded and overpressured by other anglers. So when I first met him, first started talking to him, he was going to all the normal haunts that most of the people go and fish from the shore here in the area. There's places where you can go everywhere you across the country where, you always see cars parked by a bridge or parked the end of a road or something where people go to fishing from the shore. And they're known fishing spots. Well, he took all those places off of his rotation, I guess you would say, of places to go fish. The easy spots to get to, the places that you can pull up, jump out of the truck, walk, not walk at all or walk very little, and that masses of people go that don't have a boat, that want to get a line wet, try to catch fish. So he quit going to those places and he started blazing new ground. He started getting out there, packing light and walking and covering those shorelines and really fishing the areas that the vast majority of people were not fishing. A lot of them, there's nobody fishing from the shore. And a lot of them, there's even very, very few areas that even get a significant amount of boat pressure at all. Okay, so number two, he learned to pattern shad and fish. He learned when, where, and why they move into the areas that he could easily and safely access. Well, how did he do that? Well, he went on a few fishing trips with me. He kind of learned some of the basics, and then he went out there and just relentlessly started fishing. Every time he had an opportunity to do so, he went out there, he started beating the banks, he started walking up and down them, he started trying different things, he paid attention to the weather, the water, the wind, the clarity of the water, the season. He watched online to get a rough idea of what water temperatures were, and he started learning through the process of trial and error with what he was trying and what worked and what didn't. And through that process, he kept detailed fishing logs of his success and his failures. and what he was doing at different times so he could learn patterns based off those fishing logs. And doing that and getting a good foundation and then spending that time out on the water and putting the time in did wonders for him to learn on his own and kind of start to put things together. Number three is that he capitalizes on what is going to provide him with the best fishing all year long and that fits into his fishing style, his techniques, and his equipment. He targets blues, channels, and flatheads at the right time when he can get to them easily and safely. So what does that mean? Well, that means that if you know he has a good idea that the blue catfish are probably out in deeper water or not stacked up in the shallower water where he can get to them, then he targets something else that is going to be more successful for him, or he fishes for what's going to bite best. And you know, that's not anything that's a novel concept. There's a lot of people that they just fish for whatever they're going to fish for all year round or all the time. And they don't care if they're going to, that species of fish is going to bite well or not. But a lot of people, what they do is they fish for what's going to bite best at certain times of the year. So if they know that, you know, the channel cat action is going to be hotter than the blue cat action, then they focus their attention on the channel cat. Well, that's exactly what he does, but he focuses on what he can get to from that shoreline at a certain time of the year and what is likely to be most successful for him or put more fish on the end of his line and generate the most action for him. He's mobile. Number four is that he's mobile. He doesn't sit up and wait for the fish to come to him or to bite. He moves. He finesse fishes. He goes to the fish instead of waiting for them to come to him. He works that shallow water. He works the cover and he drops bait right on top of the fish. And I mean, literally to watch what he's doing is very similar to some of the techniques that I use from a boat. But, you know, he walks up to an area, he drops a bait in the water, we'll say punch bait, and he drops it in the water and he gives it, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes. If he doesn't get a bite, he picks it up and moves it a little bit, drops it back in there, waits a little while longer. If he doesn't get a bite, then he moves down a little bit and starts that process again. And, you know, he's constantly moving and covering water and working that cover and structure and getting the baits up in and around and in these different areas and just relentlessly covering these areas that he's fishing. So that's number four. Number five is that he makes the most of his time. When he gets out there, he's working quick. He's covering a lot of water. He's really getting those baits in there and he's not lollygagging around. Again, not waiting for the fish to come to him and not wasting a lot of time. And, this really covers a lot of things, but, one of the things that I thought was really unique, a number of years ago when I questioned him about buying the kayak and taking that kayak and paddling it somewhere and then pulling up on the bank and walking fishing, is that he said, look, it's a no-brainer for me is that, you know, if I know that I need to fish over here on this side of a cove or on this side of a creek or whatever, and I can drive somewhere and I can drop that kayak in the water and I can spend 10 minutes paddling to get to that area that I want to fish versus getting in the car, driving all the way around the lake and parking and then walking to get to that area that I'm going to fish. It makes a difference of it taking me, we'll say 10 or 15 minutes to get to that area versus an hour in some instances, or maybe longer. He told me one area that he liked to fish. It took him an hour and a half to get from one side of the lake to the other, to the area that he wanted to fish. And then, you know, I kind of questioned him a little bit because he's notoriously, I don't want to say cheap, but frugal and very conscientious of what he's spending, and very much like me in that regard. And he said, look, you know, it's, you factor in the time that it takes me, you know, that hour and a half that I was driving to that other side of the lake when I could kayak across a cove in 15 minutes, that's an extra hour and 15 minutes of fishing time. Beyond that, when I really sat down and looked at it and how much gas I was spending to drive all the way around to that other area, you know, doing that three or four times, I paid for the $200 kayak. Now, you know, you can go and you can find a lot of deals on kayaks out there used. You know, there's a lot of people have them laying around. You can get little belly boats. There's a lot of different options there. My intent is not to get you to go out and buy a kayak. My intent is to get you thinking about ways that you can maximize your time and make the most of it, so you're spending more time fishing with baits in the water and less time messing around trying to get to those areas when you don't have baits in the water. At the end of the day, if you don't have a line in the water, you can't catch them. There's no way around that. So making the most of that time and getting out there will really maximize the number of fish that you can catch and how productive you are while you are fishing. So last but not least, number six, I think I forgot to mention a couple of these numbers when I was reading them off. Number six, last but not least, is that he is stealth. And I say that he's stealth because he's stealth in a couple of regards. One is that he doesn't tell anybody anything other than myself and his spouse that I know of. And one of his children, or his only child, what he's doing and where he's fishing and how successful he is. And he intentionally keeps that off the radar because most of these areas that he's fishing are very easy to get to if somebody was willing to dedicate the time and the energy to learn how to navigate without going across private property and how to get into these areas. And he keeps it quiet because, you know, he wants to stay under the radar. So he doesn't have a ton of people knowing where, when, and how he's going out there fishing. So he doesn't create a bunch of areas where they're overpressured and he ends up like the banks spots that I talked about initially back in the first portion where everybody goes all the time. So he's got just kind of this plethora of places where he fishes that nobody else is fishing or very, very few people are fishing. And one of the things that he told me a long time ago when I was kind of questioning him about this and what he was doing is that he very rarely sees anybody else, and he very rarely sees a sign of anybody else being in that area. He never sees trash. Nobody ever comes walking by. He never, you know, hears anybody talking or anything going on around him. And he's literally just kind of fishing all of these areas on his own. Now, there's another key to this, and one thing that he brought up when we started talking about all this, and I started running these things past him that I had written down, was that there's another mode of stealthiness to this. And one of the things that he said that he felt like was critical because he's fishing these areas that are relatively close to the shoreline. They're in areas that get very little foot traffic, that get a minimal amount of boat traffic, is that he's very quiet when he's fishing. He's very conscientious of the noise that he's making and, you know, that he's not coughing or banging stuff around or playing, you know, music on his phone or anything at all that would disrupt that environment that he's in. And one of the things that he told me was that he really felt like really being cautious of the noise that he was making and not disrupting the areas that he was fishing and just kind of sliding in there and dropping a bait in the water really quietly, that he felt like that had a big impact on the number of fish that he caught. Now, he gave me some examples, and, you know, it's quite honestly, it's more than I could go through and cover in this show. And I'm going to keep working on him, and I'm going to try to get him to come on here one of these days and talk about this with me. But remember to be conscientious of the noise that you're making and what's going on when you're going into these areas to fish. It's certainly something to think about. I've talked about in some of the other shows and in some of the videos and things that I've done about being quiet and noise and the impact that that can have on your fishing. It's certainly something to be aware of. So I'm going to run through these things again real quick that I had written down in my list. Yeah, make sure I get all the numbers in there. If I didn't get them in there before, I'm not going to go back and listen. But I'm going to run through them again really fast and just kind of summarize the list of what I came up with to his catfish fishing success and his consistency with catching channel catfish, blue catfish, flathead catfish on a regular basis and doing very well from the shore. So number one, go rogue. He quit going to places that were overcrowded, overfished. He got out there and he went to the places that other people weren't going to. And, you know, he got dirty, got out there, covered a lot of water, a lot of ground, and got to areas that weren't getting fishing pressure. Number two is that he learned through initially fishing with me. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can go about this, but he learned the basics of how to pattern fish. And he got out there, he did the time, he learned how to pattern and where the fish were going to be. He kept good records and figured out what was creating success and failure in the time that he was fishing out there, beating the banks and trying to catch those fish from the shore. Number three, targeting what bites best at the time of year. He capitalized on what is going to be most productive for him, fishing from the shore, using these techniques at a certain time, rather than just fishing for blue catfish because he wanted to fish for blue catfish. He makes the decision based on learning those patterns, based on keeping those records on what's going to be best and what's going to put the most fish on the end of his line. Number four is to get mobile. He doesn't sit up and wait. He moves. He finesse fishes. He goes to the fish instead of waiting for the fish to come to him. Number five is that he makes the most of his time. He maximizes his time when fishing and rather than wasting dead time driving around or walking. You know, he bought that $200 kayak off of Craigslist and he uses that to paddle to get into these areas so he can get baits in the water quicker, with the goal being more time with the bait in the water and less time driving, walking, messing around, doing anything else. Again, the more time you got those baits in the water, the more chance you have of success in catching fish. And then number six is to be stealth. He's stealth, doesn't tell a whole lot of people what he's doing, tries to keep these areas from getting a lot of pressure and being overfished, and just kind of stays under the radar and is quiet about them. But also very quiet when he's moving in and out of these areas and fishing to make sure that he doesn't disrupt the environment. So some things to think about. If you're out there targeting catfish from the shore, I want you to think about all this. But I also want you to think about all this if you're fishing from a boat, because really, if you think about it, all of this applies to fishing from a boat as well. Now, I spoke specifically to fishing from the shore because that's what this podcast is about. And obviously my friend here is, a shore fisherman, and this is what he does. And he's been very successful with this. But, the basic principles of this really apply to everything that has to do with fishing, regardless of whether you're fishing from a boat or from the shore. If you really sit down and think about it and, apply it to what you're doing, you will find that the vast majority of this applies to all types of fishing. And if you think about these things and try to implement them in what you're doing, then chances are you're going to be more successful and you're going to catch more fish. Now, this went on a lot longer than I thought it was going to initially. And there's a lot of things that I would really like to add to this, but I had no idea when I sat down and I started to record this that this was going to end up being an hour long. So I'm going to cut it off for now, and I may come back later on and talk about this some more. And like I said, I'm still going to work on him. I think there's a lot more things that I would like to talk about in regards to what I see him doing and his success, and things that I think would be really helpful to some other anglers. And I'm going to keep working on him to come on and do an interview with me. And at some point, would like to try to get out there and film some videos with him, because I think there's some very interesting things that people would like to see. But I'm going to have to work on that, see if I can break him down and, promise him that I'll conceal the locations and, maybe put him in a pair of glasses with one of those plastic noses and a mustache or something to disguise him. But I'll keep at it. So last but not least, before I go, want to add one quick thing in here. I'm really trying to shorten the beginning and the end of these podcasts so there's not so much of me rambling. I did a better job with this one, but it still went on in the beginning longer than I wanted to. But if you like this information, you like the podcast, you like the stuff that we're doing at Learn to Catch Catfish, then what I want you to do is go over to learntocatchcatfish.com/love, L-O-V-E, learntocatchcatfish.com/love. And I'm going to have all kinds of information there on how you can subscribe to the podcast, how you can leave a review for the podcast, and some other things that you can do to help me get more exposure for the show, get more people listening, get more people talking about it, because the more activity there is with it, the more I will be able to do and hopefully continue to do this on a consistent basis. So learntocatchcatfish.com/love, and you can get all that information. Last but not least, if you want to check out some of the premium products, the ebooks, the training programs, go to learntocatchcatfish.com, go up to the top of the page, click on products. You can find all that information. And again, check out those sponsors, Brute Outdoors. You can use that coupon code CATCHCATFISH for a discount. And Team Catfish, teamcatfish.com. Again, you can find all of this and more on the Learn to Catch Catfish website. If you just go to learntocatchcatfish.com/38, you will find this episode, everything in writing, show notes, links, and all the information that we talked about. So if you're driving down the road, doing something, mowing the yard, fishing, whatever you may be doing, you can go there, learntocatchcatfish.com/38. You will find all this information and links. Till next time, this is Chad Ferguson, learntocatchcatfish.com. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the Catfishing Radio Show. Thank you.